Gentlemen, you are about to hear in audition the story of the Century Clock. The program is designed to attract and entertain an audience of children, adolescents, and adults, a broad field, but one which, by the application of proven basic principles, can be reached and held profitably. Booth Tarkington wrote the Penrod stories about children, but the books were written to entertain adults. Mark Twain's stories of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, although they offer children as their central figures, won their greatest and most lasting appreciation from grown-ups. So there is ample justification for the belief that a good story told well, whether it concerns children or adults, will win and hold a large audience. Certainly the story of the Century Clock will do that. For children, it presents two real boys who travel through the ages, who adventure against the background of legend and lore and history in most enjoyable fashion. For adults, it offers escape into the dreams which everyone cherishes. A welcome and appropriate Sunday afternoon show. Wherever the story of the Century Clock has been told, it has met with enthusiastic response. And we feel that you, who are about to hear this audition, will find the same entertainment, the same listening pleasure, as the children and their parents for whom the story was devised. Gentlemen, we present the story of the Century Clock. The original malted milk, the builder-up for all ages, brings you chapter one of a story of all ages, The Century Clock. Many folks find it simple to get rid of that tired, all-gone feeling. If you can't keep up because you get tired, if you feel dragged at the end of the day, try this simple routine. Every day at mid-morning, mid-afternoon, and at bedtime, drink nourishing Horlicks malted milk, or eat the handy candy Horlicks malted milk tablets that helped famous explorers to reach the North and South Poles. Horlicks gives the system valuable extra food energy and helps to increase weight and strength. That's because Horlicks malted milk contains nourishment from full cream milk, malt sugars, proteins and minerals, and natural vitamins. And it's so easy to digest. You'll find Horlicks malted milk, both powder and tablets, sold everywhere in plain or chocolate flavor. And remember, there's only one Horlicks, not a mechanical mixture, but cooked in vacuum at low temperatures, partially pre-digested. So ask for Horlicks, the original malted milk. From out of the fabled world of yesterdays come thrilling tales of romance and flaming courage which have marked man's march through eternity. Call them history, call them legend, they awake a burning desire to part the curtain of time and travel at will through the ages. That is a cherished but secret dream in every heart. Now we bring you the story of one who shared that dream and of two who made the wondrous journey into the land of yesterdays. Now we give you the story of The Century Clock. It is early on a summer evening. Two boys push open the front door of a huge and ancient house deep in Sherrod's Woods, a house which everyone has thought is deserted. The younger of the boys tugs at his companion's sleeve. Listen.
Oh, Jerry, come on, let's go home.
Well, what's the matter, Dan? Are you scared?
Yes, I am. It wouldn't seem so funny if old Sleepy Sam had come home and find us prowling around and... Besides, it's dark in here.
Well, wait till I close the door a little so we can turn on the flashlight. Just a second.
But suppose we can't open it again.
We can. Don't worry. Now, the light.
Big old place, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Dan, look in that room where the light's pointing.
Yeah?
There's a cot where old Sam sleeps and a table. Hey, there's a candle. Go on, light it.
You.
Now, listen, who's the leader of our bunch, you or me?
You are.
All right, light it.
Okay.
Boy, well, we have a real story for the fellas. Us figuring out that old Sam was living in this deserted old place and coming out here and looking around like this, they'll admit that Jerry Elliott and Dan Keddie can really figure things out. Boy.
That isn't right, Jerry.
Well, we're not going to take anything or hurt anything. Go on, light the candle.
There. Golly, look at that shadow. Kind of scary. Hey, look on the table there. Those books.
Yeah. Golly, they're big. Huh. He must have been reading this one.
Hey, it's all about King Arthur and his knights. Look, Sir Launcelot.
Yeah. Boy, he's my favorite. What's it say about him?
Sir Launcelot, who in joust did lay aground 60 challengers.
Some scrapper, huh?
Gee, this book is all about knights and stuff. Look at that picture. Golly. Knights charging and pretty ladies watching them. And... oh, I like this one. Sir Raymond the Valiant. And on that very day did Sir Raymond depart from Camelot and vowed he that Camelot would know him not until the Lady Enid were delivered from the Knight of the Purple Plume. You never think old Sleepy Sam would be interested in stuff like this. Sometime I'm going to ask him.
Hey, Dan, come here. Look what I found.
Where are you?
In here, in the next room. Come here. Gosh, look at this.
Oh, Jerry, don't you go messing around with Sleepy Sam's things. Holy smokes.
Now I guess you're glad you came along, aren't you? Finding a big old thing like this?
It's something like a clock, isn't it?
Yeah, something. Only bigger.
Yeah, a lot bigger. What's going to be, Jerry?
Gosh, I don't know. All those funny dials and things on the front, and only one hand.
Oh, that's a sort of map on the front. See it?
Yeah. Funniest looking thing I ever saw. Golly, it's bigger than a piano. What can it be?
Hey, Jerry, come here. Here's something.
What is it?
It's some kind of note. Pinned here on the side. Oh, see, there's the door, and the note is right on the handle.
Well, what's it say?
It says, "To whom it may concern." Say, I don't think we ought to read this. It isn't right.
Well, he meant for whoever is concerned to read it. Well, I guess our being out here in the middle of the night like this proves we're concerned, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Well, then go ahead and read it.
All right, here goes. To whom it may concern.
Well, get past that part, can't you?
Well, just a second, Jerry. Golly, I never thought Sleepy Sam could ever write anything like this. It's wonderful.
Go on, read it.
Well, it's as though you're right here, saying all these things. Listen, here's what he's written. Once I was young, but now...
now they say I am an old man. An old man. They say Sleepy Sam has no dreams. He is old, and the dreams of his youth have been lost in the oblivion of age. But do they know of the dreams which since my youth I have cherished? Do they know of the thrill which comes from tales of King Arthur and his knights? Do men know the adventures into which imagination has led me? Sleepy Sam, yes, but a man who has lived and breathed the sagas of the Vikings, a man who in fantasy has entered Troy in the great wooden horse. Yes, I, Sleepy Sam, have done that. But then, they were only dreams. Now they can be reality. For I have created the century clock. While men have called me Sleepy Sam, I've labored in my old house, deep in Sherrod's woods. I've labored to build a huge clock which will turn time back and take me to any land at whatever time I desire. My century clock stands ready in the next room, set and ready to carry me to the lands I most want to see. Tonight, I will make a journey. Tonight.
Can you imagine Sleepy Sam writing that?
Oh, Jerry, we ought to get out of here.
Maybe we better. So old Sleepy Sam made this century clock. Golly, no wonder folks around here always thought he was crazy, thinking about stuff like that.
Quiet. Jerry, what's that noise?
Someone's coming.
It's old Sam. He's got that cane in him. We better hide.
That front door wasn't closed when I left.
Oh, gosh, he knows we're here. Let's run.
But where can we go? We can't get down those stairs. He'd catch us.
Meddling with my century clock, I'll...
There's only one place we can hide.
Oh, what are you waiting for? Where is it?
Inside the century clock. Come on.
Fools around here say I'm crazy, huh? They'll find out someone hasn't broken the century clock.
Lock that door, Jerry.
Yeah. There it is. My century clock. Ah, you're worth all my labor. Only I could have made you. These fools who call me crazy wouldn't understand. Huh? What's this? My note is gone.
Oh, Jerry. Tony, I'm nowhere here.
Someone's been here. Someone's been meddling with my sensory clock. No, nothing changed. They haven't damaged it. But if they've been inside... Someone is inside. Come out of there. Come out of my sensory clock. Come out, I say.
They'll break the door in. What are we going to do?
We can't let them catch us. Where's the handle that starts this?
Come out. I hear you.
No, Jerry, no.
We have to do something.
I hear you. Come out before you break something.
Hang on, Dan. I found the handle.
I'll get you. I'll chain you.
Jerry, don't.
Come out.
Here goes.
Come out. Come back. Come back.
Come on, Jerry. Come
back. Well, see, we are poor. We must be going a million miles a minute. Hang on.
Back through the mists of time hurtles the century clock. Beneath it, history unfolds. Back it sweeps. Nights and days, winters and summers go past in a twinkling. There below are the Civil War battlefields. And there the Spanish Armada, its white sails reaching across an endless blue sea. And the ships of Columbus, the Moors and barbarians. Now, with the speed of light, the century clock carries the two boys over a field of gleaming shields, pennons in the breeze, an army of crusaders marching to deliver Jerusalem from the Saracens. And there below is the Vikings sailing to find the secret of the horizon. Savage men, strange ships, making history. Back into time, the century clock flashes. Slowly, the weird mechanism comes to a stop. With a gentle thud, the century clock settles to earth. Jerry and Dan wait, fearing yet hoping that they will hear Sleepy Sam ordering them to come out of the marvelous century clock. But there is no sound. Trembling, Jerry opens the door and peers about him.
Where are we, Jerry?
Gee, I don't know. Out in the country somewhere. Trees and stuff.
Well, Sleepy Sam isn't anywhere in sight, is he?
Uh-uh.
Oh, Jerry, look.
Say, what's the matter with you?
Jerry, don't you see them?
See who?
Oh, those fellas on horses. Over behind that thick clump of bushes. 7 or 8 of them. Look.
Holy mud. Dan, did you see what they're wearing? Armor and helmets.
Yeah. Gosh.
And purple plumes. Look at those swords. Boy.
And Jerry, there's some sort of road that goes right past those bushes where they're hiding. Looks like those fellas are waiting for someone. Sort of an ambush.
Yeah, there's something going on. Boy, will we have a story to tell the other kids.
What was that?
Somebody tooting a horn. Gee, look, those guys over there getting out their swords and pointing their spears out in front and... Boy, Dan, you ought to see who's coming. Look, coming down the trail.
Just like a picture book. Like a real knife.
Did you ever see a sweller costume in all your life? And the fellow with him, the big fella. Isn't he a whopper?
I'll say.
What's that picture on his shield there?
Oh, that isn't a picture. It's a device. Oh, sort of trademark.
Oh, I see.
Golly, he's keen looking. Look at him shine in the big land.
Yeah, and the way his horse dances around. Gee, is that a swell costume. Hey, Dan, we have to do something.
Do something? Oh, why?
Because this knight coming doesn't know that those other fellas are getting ready to jump on him. We have to warn him. There are too many of them.
Oh, it's a joke or something. Maybe they...
Dan, I've got an idea, isn't it? Now, we can't take a chance. We have to let them know they're laying for it.
Well, hey, Jerry, wait. Where are you going?
To warn them, of course. Come on. Hurry. Come on.
I am hurrying.
Hey, wait up. Don't come any nearer.
Oh, come no nearer. Figo, my sword.
You don't know you need a sword for us, mister. Honest, only listen to us.
Yeah, they're laying for you. A whole bunch of them right over there.
What manner of language is this? What manner of creature are you?
Well, never mind that now. There are about 7 or 8 men on horses behind that big clump of bushes over there.
Yeah, and they're all wearing purple plumes, too.
Figo, you hear? Purple plumes. Varlets of that evil knight.
I hear, master.
Scourge me on the thicket. And if there be one lurking there, bid him couch his lance.
But they're more than that. Oh,
look, you can see the reflection of the sun on their shields.
Gad, shields are glint. You see them, Figo?
I see, master.
Support me and guard my back, Figo.
I am here, master.
Then, charge! For King Arthur, the trumpet, Figo!
Josh, look at him. Going after him with only that big fellow to help him. Look at him. Jeez. Look at him run. Does he scare him? Boy, they didn't stick around long, those other fellows. They're almost out of sight over that hill. They scared of him. Boy, Dan, did you see that?
Hey, Dan. Hey, what's the matter with this?
Nothing. Except...
Except what? Gosh, I wouldn't have missed this for anything.
Did you hear what he said when he charged at him?
Well, sure, he said charge and... for King Arthur.
Yeah, for King Arthur.
Jiminy Willikins. Gosh.
I guess it's true, Jerry.
When we got into the century clock, it was set to go to the land of King Arthur.
Uh-huh. Remember that note? Sleepy Sam said it was set. And those books on this table, they were about King Arthur's knights.
Gosh, I never thought of that.
And there's something else. I thought I recognized it. This knight.
Well, then they're real knights and stuff, and not just make-believe.
It looks that way.
Gosh. But what did you mean about recognizing this knight?
Well, in that book I was reading, one of the knights had a shield with a big blue circle on it. And in the circle was a white hand.
Well, golly, that's just like this fellow's shield.
Uh-huh. That's what I saw.
Well, what's his name?
It said in the book, Sir Raymond the Valiant.
Sir Raymond the Valiant. Boy. Say, I'm going to ask him. Or maybe you'd better. He seems to understand you. He's coming back. Now, ask him, Dan.
Oh, I will, but, Jerry, I was just thinking...
Me, too. How is my dad going to like this? Me running around a lot of knights and such. Yeah, and yours, too.
Oh, how are they going to know about it?
Are they going to... Oh.
The way I figure, if this is really the land of King Arthur... It's something like the year 500 A.D.
Yeah.
And according to my figures, our dads aren't due to be born for another 1,400 years or so.
Gosh. Well, you'd better ask him right away. Only keep an eye on that big fellow with him. I don't think he likes us. You do the talking.
Oh, okay. Say, mister, I'm glad you won.
Won? If by that you mean that the varlets of the Purple Plume are vanquished.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, what other could be asked? This is the magic land.
Oh, the magic land?
And its fame has not reached you?
Well, we hadn't heard of it, I'll admit.
Then it is as I thought. You come from the land beyond the endless waters, beyond the forest of the dwarves and the valley of mended dreams that lie beyond the magic mountain.
Maybe.
Maybe? Do you not know?
Well, you see, we came off of fair.
Well, we really didn't get a chance to see much.
You see, we came from Barnesville.
Barnesville? Figo, you know of a land so named.
Well, I know not, Master. It's a strange name for a land.
Well, it isn't a land. It's a town. And you won't hear much about it for about 1,400 years. Oh, well, never mind. There's something I want to ask you, mister.
See, although I am not called mister.
What is your name, if you don't mind telling us?
I am called Sir Raymond, surnamed the Valiant.
Sir Raymond the Valiant. It's him, Dan, the same one.
I thought so, Jerry.
And now I must pursue my quest. I did but return to give thanks for my deliverance from the hands of the Knight of the Purple Plume. It did give me time to dedicate my lance to the service of our good King Arthur. Else its magic would have been powerless.
Oh, I don't understand, Sir Raymond.
When used in the service and name of the king, this lance is infallible. Did you not hear me call for King Arthur?
Oh, I see. When you're using the lance in the king's name, you can't be beat. Is that right?
None can overthrow me. In other service, it is but an ordinary lance.
Holy mud, magic.
Time presses, Master.
Yes. My thanks, young sir. Now I must rise. Only this morn did I depart from Camelot, and vowed that Camelot should know
me
not
until the Lady Enid had been delivered from the Knight of the Purple Plume.
You know my name, then, and my quest?
Well, I read about you in a book.
You know, then, of the Lady Enid, a damsel in distress, held in durance vile by the Knight of the Purple Plume?
No, I really can't say that I...
We'd like to, Sir Raymond. Golly, I always wanted to know about damsels in distress and durance vile and such.
Jerry.
Say, you suppose we could help you get her out of durance vile?
Ha, ha, ha. Here's a child, Master.
Well, that isn't so funny. We know a lot of tricks and a lot of stuff. You don't need to laugh.
Jerry, now don't make him mad.
Well, just because he's got armor on, he don't need to think he can laugh at me. We could help you, Sir Raymond.
Oh, Jerry, we shouldn't leave the century clock.
Oh, I'd rather be with Sir Raymond than sitting out here in the woods with night coming on.
Hold. Michael.
Yes, Master.
Did I not voice the wish that a message might be carried to Lady Enid? telling of our presence and bidding her try to pass through the door on which the spell was cast?
See, Danny, hear that? He said a door had a spell on it.
You did so speak, Master.
And could not one of these strange
boys...
Both
are neighbors, Sir Raymond.
Both, then. Could they not make their way through the small door by the sally port and carry word of us to Lady Enid? Your bulk nor mine could pass through. Vigo, do you take the larger of the boys upon your charger, and I shall carry the other. Dan? You are called Dan?
Yeah, and he's Jerry.
Vigo, carry Jerry.
Yes, Master.
Oh, I'm not going to like this. Ouch! Hey, stop grabbing me.
Up there! Take firm hold, or we ride far.
Ow. Hey, this is pretty swell. I do hate to leave a century clock.
Forward.
Ow.
And as we ride, I shall acquaint you with the plan, friend Dan. Vigo, follow.
Hey, take it easy, will you? This is something.
Several hours later, we find the two boys within the castle in which the Lady Enid is held. Through the narrow sally port, they've made their way. While at the drawbridge on the other side of the castle, Sir Raymond and Vigo, his squire, create a great disturbance. There they go, Dan and Jerry, creeping up the stairway toward the tower room.
Do you suppose she'll come with us, Dan?
Sure, she'll have to. That is, we can get her out. You know what Sir Raymond said. I'll close that door.
Okay. I couldn't hear what he was saying. I was too busy hanging on behind that Vigo. His horse was awful rough.
Well, Sir Raymond and the Lady Enid are sweethearts. Always have been. She was captured and brought here. And a spell cast over the door to her room. So she can't get out until Sir Raymond comes after her. He's the only one who can break the spell.
Well, why's that?
Well, you see, he's got the magic lance. And the King of the Purple Plume would like to get it. So he figures that when Sir Raymond comes for Lady Enid, he won't be using it in the service of the king. It'll be in the service of Lady Enid. See?
Well, sort of.
And the Knight of the Purple Plume can get it away from Sir Raymond. And then he'll be able to fight against King Arthur.
Oh, I don't believe in all that stuff about spells and magic lances.
Well, I was thinking about that, Jerry. I'll tell you, the way I figure it...
Hey, Dan, there's a room right ahead. And someone's in it. I saw a shadow.
Oh, this must be Lady Enid's room. Uh-huh, it is. And there she is. Gee, she's pretty. Oh, I wonder why she looks so sad.
Well, you go first, Dan.
All right. Oh,
who are you? What? You're merely little boys.
Oh, we're not so little. I'm 14 and he's 13, nearly.
But what are you doing here in the prison of Lady Enid?
Why, Sir Raymond sent us. He's right down in front.
Sir Raymond? Here? Before this castle?
Uh-huh. I'll bet you can see him from this window.
Where? Oh, I must see him.
Oh, right down there. See? On the white horse.
Sir Raymond. Oh, but he must go at once, lest he be taken, and with him the magic lamp.
Well, he's going to meet you over on the other side of that hill, Lady Enid. He sent us to get you.
Meet me? But I cannot depart. Over this door there is a spell placed there to hold me captive, here in this room.
Oh, we came in.
So you did. You did indeed.
And you can go out the same way.
No, I cannot. Only Sir Raymond can break the spell.
Oh, will you try?
Sure, try once.
Yeah, now walk right with us.
I have tried, oh, so many times, but I...
Oh, once again, please.
Very well, to please you.
That's a stop. Now just walk right out.
Oh, it is of no avail. The spell is so strong I cannot pass, even though you can. No, leave me. I shall stand by the window and watch him, and think of the hours we spent together on the battlements of Camelot, before the evil days befell us. I shall watch you.
Well, this beats me, Dan. It beats me why she can't get through.
Well, she can't. Well, for her, there's a wall there.
Oh, magic, it's bunk. You know what our teachers told us, or will tell us, or something.
Yeah. Well, I thought it out, Jerry. Now, promise not to laugh at me.
All right, I promise.
Well, here's the way I figure it. Back in 1939, when we read about King Arthur's time, why, we believed there was magic in those days, didn't we?
Well, yeah.
Sure. And now, just because the century clock carried us back to those days, why, it doesn't change anything, does it? We believe there was magic in those days, so there is. See?
Well, I guess so.
On the way I figure it, The reason we can go through that door is because we weren't even alive when the spell was made.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
Well, it is reasonable. And Jerry, I've got an idea for getting the Lady Enid out of here. Lady Enid?
Yes? And now do you return to Sir Raymond with word of my plight?
Uh-huh. Oh, Lady Enid, will you try something for us?
Anything, my young friends, anything. If it bears with it hope of relief.
All right, Jerry. Now's the time to show how strong you are. Lady Enid, we're going to carry you out.
Oh.
Uh-huh. We can go through that door. And if we can, why, you can go with us. Sir Raymond told me that when the spell was cast, why, it was that you could not step over the lintel. Well, this way you don't have to. Jerry and I will do it for you.
Why, we can but hope and try.
You bet. All right. Now, lift, Jerry.
I'm lifting.
All right. Boy, easy now. Here's the door. Jerry, it worked.
Boy, oh boy.
Free. Free is long last.
Now, all we have to do is make our way out of here and then back to the century clock and home. Come on.
A short time later, as the Lady Enid and the two boys wait behind a low hill a short distance from the castle, Sir Raymond and the giant Vigo come riding over the crest, their armor gleaming in the dying sun. Sir Raymond leaps from his horse, flings off his helmet, and kneels before the Lady Enid. She places a gentle hand upon the sword which Sir Raymond extends.
This sword and this heart, ever in your service, my Lady Enid.
Rise, Sir Raymond, and know that never did I doubt that one day you would come a-riding to deliver me.
Did I not pledge myself to be your protector?
Well, have you kept that pledge, and you shall have your reward. That which you bespoke upon the last day of the tournament. My hand.
My lady.
Hear that, Jerry? They're really engaged now.
Yeah, he's kissing her hand. Boy, is he polite.
And now to Camelot, with you before me on my saddle. The good King Arthur will declare our band.
He will deign to honor the two strange boys who delivered me?
It is my purpose that they shall be carried to Camelot with us.
Say, if you don't mind, we'd just as soon go back to the century clock and sort of get started for home.
Oh, damn, not me. A chance to go to Camelot and you want to go home.
Oh, Jerry.
You will be welcomed at the court of King Arthur.
You hear that, Dan?
Yeah, but...
For me, friend Dan.
Well...
The Lady Enid speaks, hear you not? Before me and one behind.
Jerry, we ought to go back to...
I go. Our quest accomplished. With the Lady Enid, we ride to Camelot. The trumpet, I go.
Camelot. Gee, he'll take us to Camelot. I'll even ride with Vigo.
And there in the twilight go riding Sir Raymond with the Lady Enid held tightly to him, while Jerry and Dan cling tenaciously to the giant Vigo on their way to King Arthur's court at the fabled city of Camelot. On their way to great adventures with all the enthusiasm and energy young people should have. You know, baseball, summer games, all kinds of sports are fun for healthy boys and girls, but they do take extra energy. So let your children drink in wholesome extra nourishment between their meals so that they can play as hard as any other youngsters. Treat their growing energetic bodies to refreshing, delicious Horlicks malted milk, the build-up food drink for all ages, an American standby for over 50 years. Horlicks is potent in full cream milk, extracted nutriments from wheat and malted barley, with minerals good for teeth and bones, proteins for growth, and natural vitamins. Children love Horlicks malted milk in plain or chocolate flavor at meals, in between meals, and at bedtime. And they like Horlicks malted milk tablets, as tempting to children as candy, and so wholesome and strengthening they may be eaten freely. Mothers throughout the nation praise Horlicks. They know it often helps growing children to thrive, to gain weight. But remember, there's only one Horlicks malted milk made to strict laboratory standards of purity. Horlicks is made to meet a need and not a price. And yet, because it is all usable food, Horlicks is economical. So start your family on Horlicks, the original malted milk, today. What will be the experience of Dan and Jerry in this strange land of legends into which the century clock has carried them? What thrills will be theirs? Listen again next Sunday and learn the fantastic story of the magic lance of Sir Raymond the Valiant. Follow to adventure with The Century Clock in the Land of King Arthur. Your announcer is Lewis Rowan. This is the National Broadcasting Company. From this point, the story of the Century Clock carries us into further romantic contact with the land of King Arthur, then on to the Siege of Troy, then to the land of the Vikings and land of Robin Hood. The legends and the history which occupy so important a place in our American culture are brought to children and adults in most enjoyable fashion. But of course, a radio program can be but the spearhead of a merchandising attack. The program can but attract a large and loyal audience to listen to your message and act on your offers. In the Century Clock, there are built-in merchandising schemes. Imagine the eagerness of children to become junior knights of the Round Table and junior ladies-in-waiting to share in the golden of princes of King Arthur's time. An ideal for every girl and a delight to every parent. Imagine their eagerness to secure stamps bearing the images of King Arthur, Sir Launcelot, Sir Raymond the Valiant, the Lady Enid, the walled city of Camelot, the Enchanted Castle, Leif Erikson, Achilles, the Great Wooden Horse of Troy. An ideal appeal for children, a refreshingly novel hobby for adults. Is this not packed with interest and, from your standpoint, most profitable response? Gentlemen, here is an ideal program to carry your message and upon which to base a sales campaign of assured effectiveness. We recommend The Story of the Century Clock.